Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the Wisdom of Walt. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet. Create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Perfect for Father's Day and graduates. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by the great folks over at TouringPlans.com. The folks over at TouringPlans.com have one major goal, and that's to keep you out of lines and on your favorite attractions at both Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and Universal Studios Florida. You'll have access to the Optimizer, which lets you pick the attractions you're most interested in and will immediately come back with the best way to see those attractions with the least amount of wait. Many, many other features await you, so grab that premium subscription today. Check them out today over at TouringPlans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1024 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Thank you so much, as always, for checking in with us, seeing what's going on with the Be Our Guest Podcast here on a Monday, kicking off your week with another trip report. I know we kind of got away from that the last couple of weeks. We are back, and we love talking about firsthand experiences at the Disney parks. And joining me today from a hotel room in Virginia, but he's from all over. But apparently, this gentleman grew up around Southern California, around the original Disney park, Disneyland. We have Brian. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Mike, thanks for having me. I was really trying to get on show number 1023 because that's my birthday, but I missed it by one.
Oh, man, you should have told me before we recorded. We'd have had to move it up by 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. Now, hey, I just want to say, I listen to the show all the time. Look forward to every time it downloads. I try to stay away from the Facebook live chats because it ruins my surprises through the week.
Yeah, you know what? That was kind of my dilemma when I decided that I wanted to give Facebook Live a chance because, you know, I want to try the next thing when I get the opportunity, you know, try to expand the show as much as we can over the years. But you're right. I mean, I have the same dilemma when I listen to a podcast network called Twit, which is all about technology, and they broadcast live on the internet. And then, you know, I don't have anything to listen to at 5 o'clock in the morning when I go for my walk. So I feel your pain.
I'm with you.
All right. Let's talk about this trip. We're going to talk some Disney today. I know everybody's excited because trip reports are fun. You know, it could be a dreary Monday wherever you are today. Last Monday, we're all grilling out, but it's back to reality for a lot of folks. So tell us about what we're going to talk about today.
So first of all, I'm a former Disneyland cast member where my dad worked, my sister worked there. And then this past year in 2015, my son went into the college program at Disney World. We live in North Carolina, and you'll appreciate this. He got his degree in elementary education, and I suggested heavily that he take a semester, and it ended up being a full year of going down to Disney World, having fun post-graduation, and seeing what it's like working in the real world before he starts his teaching career. So for the past 16 years now, we've lived in North Carolina and have considered Walt Disney World our home park. And, you know, when the kids were younger, we'd do two trips a year. And then as the kids got older and got into high school, it was one trip or maybe just a quick weekend here and there. But fast forward, and what made this trip extra fun was my wife and I sent our youngest child, our daughter, off to college in last August, And we decided that, you know what, as long as our son's at Disney World and we can get his discounts on hotel rooms and a few meals here and there, you know, let's take a week and we'll go down to Disney World and have absolutely no kids, no teenagers, no preteens, no schedules, no plans, just kind of go for it.
Well, first of all, let me just jump in here and say that right now, elementary education is the greatest job in the world, you know, in the month of June. I'm loving it right about now. Now, don't talk to me in, you know, January. But, no, I like your advice, though. Get out there and have the experience. And I'm sure that, you know, being a cast member yourself, that your son, you know, had some insight into what was going to happen. But, I think there's nothing really like getting thrown into the fire and seeing what it's like, you know, is a cast member down at Walt Disney World. That's exciting.
Yeah, he thought about it for a while. He really researched what he wanted to do. He applied for custodial, and he wanted to be a sweeper on Main Street in the Magic Kingdom, and that's exactly what he got. Surprising to me and his mother, out of the custodial jobs that he really liked was being assigned to the restrooms. So the weather was much more the weather was much more tolerant inside the restrooms, and you had a little bit better and a little more flexible schedule as long as your restroom was done. So he spent 6-7 months cleaning restrooms on Main Street.
Wow. It took 1,024 episodes for anybody to say that. So there you go. You never know what you're going to hear on the Be Our Guest podcast. All right. So you know, I like the way, though, you guys incorporated the opportunity to kind of be empty nesters, to get down there, to take advantage of the financial savings when you have, a family member who is a cast member. So how did this trip come about?
So what we decided to do this, and we decided that we were going to do it in the middle of summer, and kind of as a reward to us and celebrating our 25th anniversary, which was in the middle of the summer. I've got some friends, Mike and Mary, who are in their 60s and they're in the same industry as I am. So I've known them for years. They're from the city that has the World Series baseball team right now on the other side of your state.
I like the Royals. Nothing wrong with little KC for the Wedway Radio fans.
Yeah, and they were really happy because this trip took place November 14th. I had always teased them because they really didn't do any vacations all their life, and their entire experience was Mary went to Epcot for one day in 1997, and Mike and Mary went over to Downtown Disney back then with me 4 years ago for an evening after a trade show, and we did the free things there. Then we took the bus to the Contemporary and did the monorail loop, and that was their entire experience for Disney World. So I kept telling them, on the next time that we're going, I'm going to let you know, and if you want to come along with us, come on, it'll be great. So this trip, they said shockingly, in 2 months, 3 months out from the trip, they said, we'd love to go. So now I've got my son booking rooms and getting tickets for us, and then I had the Walt Disney World and Disneyland veteran in me trying to plan a first-time trip for people that really had very limited ideas and also really didn't know how to vacation at the same time. So I was really sweating the planning of the trip, got all the details worked out. I was the one that was up at midnight. In fact, I was up at midnight the night before I was leaving on a trip for Germany. So I'm up at midnight, 90 days out, getting our fast passes booked. Got the whole trip planned, and then about a month before the trip, when I was starting to really get worried about it and worried, are they going to have fun? Is the pace too fast? What are we doing? It dawned on me that we were going to be there for 6 nights. They had never been there before. Whatever I showed them was going to be wonderful. And all the pressure of planning a trip for friends that had never been there before just completely melted away. And we were able to alter the schedule, and it just became a super relaxing, really wonderfully paced trip.
And Brian, that's one thing. I know you mentioned that exact fact in the email when we were contacting each other about doing this show, was that as first timers, everything is new, and those first time guests come in eyes wide open, and everything is just amazing. I mean, for the most part, you know, of course, some things maybe with long lines, maybe, you know, not so magical. But I mean, I think that's the best attitude to have, because I know as veterans, that hearing that means a lot to me, because I know that I have the pressure sometimes of taking first time friends, and I'm the same way. I want everything to be absolutely perfect. I want them to fall in love with Walt Disney World the same way I love it. And you're right, though. That's a great attitude to have, to kind of, you know, turn loose and take a breath. You know, it's going to be amazing. You don't really have to worry about it. Just being in that setting is pretty incredible. So I'm glad our audience is hearing that today.
And it did help me with them being in their 60s and Mike having a little bit of some physical encumbrances from years of work. It made it really easy that the only real quote unquote e-ticket thrill ride we did was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. The rest of them, I mean, we did Soarin', but we stayed away from Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder. We stayed away from anything that might jar or jump him around. My wife and I had been on everything, you know, several times. So it was like the only thing we were really looking forward to was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, as it was going to be my second time on there. So it made the trip a whole lot. It was interesting. We were doing more B and C ticket style rides, more relaxing shows, more entertaining things. And when we got into lines, you know, if it was something that we hadn't scheduled a fast pass for and the line looked reasonable, and keep in mind, we're there the very tail end of Food and Wine and rolling right into the Christmas season. So we really didn't have really bad crowds the entire time, but we were just able to really just slow down and enjoy the pace and enjoy the ambiance of every park. I did plan a schedule so that, you know, so that we had fast passes for the shows and the events that we wanted to go to and see. I made sure that we got on the classics and had to do Haunted Mansion and Pirates and Small World. And as a former Disneyland train conductor, we had to try to get on the railroad at least once so that they could see kind of what I did on the Disney World version of it. But we just kind of planned the pace down and really easy. And it was a really relaxing vacation for both me and my wife, who had never been there really without kids and without the time pressures. And if we wanted to sit and look at something for a while, we did. We saw every one of the shows throughout Epcot. It was just a really refreshing trip for us to not have to hear, "Dad, I don't want to go on that. That's boring."
That's true.
Sorry, Dad paid for it, so Dad's going on it.
I love it.
The other big benefit to the college program is we booked at Port Orleans Riverside, which I agree is the best of all worlds in resorts. It's just the perfect resort for size, for scope, for theming, for location. We got the Royal Rooms, and the Royal Rooms with my son's discount were 50% off the discounted rate available.
Wow. So you got a steal.
So the Royal Rooms ended up at about $115 a night for us. And it was perfect.
People are pushing, Brian, people are pushing their 8-year-olds right now and saying, you know, you're going to do the college program. I want to stay in the Royal Rooms for that rate. So just so you know.
I've already decided that my daughter is going to do the college program. I'm just not sure how many years.
Oh, there you go.
So to go through it day by day, kind of, we arrived on Saturday. I met them at the airport. They flew in and got in at noon. And we drove down the night before and kind of stayed overnight in the area and met them at the airport, picked them up, drove them over so that they didn't have to. I was their magical express. We parked the car right in front of the room and unloaded the car. And I decided that was it. That's the last time I want to get in and drive the car. I know the car can be faster at times. But for us wanting to do a relaxing vacation, standing around at the bus stops and talking to other people, other guests, or waiting at the bus, or standing, you know, sitting on the bus and that was all part of the total experience for us. It was getting on and off the bus and doing that. And sometimes we had to wait, sometimes we didn't. It was just random luck. The first thing we did was got there, dropped off our bags. Room wasn't ready. We got back. We activated our magic bands. And the only way to start off a Walt Disney World vacation for me is to automatically go to the Magic Kingdom first. It was a Saturday. However, it was the last weekend of Food and Wine. And with them never seeing Epcot, or with them, you know, only Mary being to Epcot once before, I avoided Epcot for the Saturday and the Sunday, let all the Food and Wine people go through it. Saturday we spent the entire night at the Magic Kingdom and just did Magic Kingdom stuff. Had to make sure and see the fireworks and the parade and all that. Just had a wonderful evening, and because they'd traveled that day from Kansas City, we went back to the hotel room at about 9-10 o'clock, and that was it for the night. Sunday we got up and did Animal Kingdom, and Sunday night we had tickets for the first Mickey's Very Merry Christmas. And the reason we got tickets was my son was they call them the honey buckets. My son was pushing one of the trash cans behind one of the horse-drawn carriages in the parade.
Nice. I didn't know they were called that. Interesting.
They call them honey buckets. There's one person pushing the trash can and another person with a shovel, and it's two custodial cast members that are just regular custodial cast members that get assigned to do the parade and push the honey buckets. Me being the father that I am, we knew exactly where the parade would end. We ended up over by the fire station. There was like six or seven college age girls standing along there. So I told them when I wink at you, I said, yell out, I love you, Kevin. And,
nice.
You know, had to embarrass my son.
That's it. That's why you're there.
But yeah, so he was he's the first one to the first one in our family to ever walk in a parade.
That's sweet.
So we got to see that, and yeah, that's always fun. One thing that we did do that was a mistake was we didn't pre-plan the parade night or the Christmas party night. And had we done that, I would have changed around our itinerary for that Sunday and not done a day at Animal Kingdom earlier, because it was just that was a long day for all of us. But every day we did midday breaks, went back to the hotel, laid down for an hour or two, whatever, just got off our feet. Sometimes the midday break might have been just sat down in a restaurant and put our feet up. We didn't do any real dining, any ADRs, except for Mary had remembered seeing the restaurant inside Mexico where the boats were going by. So we did a dinner at the San Angelo Inn. My wife had planned ahead and had a surprise anniversary cake for all four of us. It was our anniversary, but she had called ahead and ordered an anniversary cake to be delivered for dinner or for lunch. But that was really the only ADR that we did the entire time. With all the traveling that I do for work, and with the travel and the trade shows that Mike and Mary do as well, we end up in Las Vegas a lot and go through a lot of three and a half hour, four hour dinners in really nice, fancy restaurants. So that was just not our thing.
That's very interesting, though, to me, because so many people see, you know, they're like in the opposite situation that you are. You know, at home, it's always McDonald's, or you eat out of your house, or, you know, or something like that, where you're in the opposite situation. So you kind of embrace the not having to spend 2 hours over a dinner. You wanted to keep seeing things, and just, even though you weren't looking at the e-tickets, you just wanted to, it seems like, soak in the atmosphere every minute you could.
Now, and what we did to kind of counteract that was every time there was a restaurant that also had a bar that we thought was nice, especially around Epcot or Animal Kingdom or even Hollywood Studios, we went into the Brown Derby and had drinks at the bar. And if we wanted to, we ordered an appetizer. So that way you got the ambiance of the restaurants without the full-blown meals and without having to schedule the ADRs. Last evening we spent in, we spent it at Hollywood Studios. We wanted to get over there and see the Osborne lights for the last time. Before that, we walked up to Sci-Fi, and they have little tables along the back wall of all the cars, little tables for four that were just that are just available for walk-ups. For us, that was absolutely perfect. So there was our two big dining things, Sci-Fi and the San Angelo Inn.
Wow, and Sci-Fi is usually a tough nut to crack. I mean, that place is always tough to get in, especially last minute. So it's good that you asked, and you're right. Those tables in the back, good call. I mean, you still get the same atmosphere.
We walked up to them at 10 after 5. They said it would be a half hour to 45 minutes, gave us a pager. We went around the corner to the rider's stop where we could get a cup of coffee. Mike and I are both smokers, so we were able to get a cup of coffee and then walk down to the designated smoking area, sit down. And by that time, my wife was calling me on my cell phone saying, our pager's going off. So literally, it took like 20 minutes. And in the meantime, we both had a cup of coffee, got our smoke break in, and went back to Sci-Fi, ate, walked right out of there to the Osborne lights, saw that, and then went to Fantasmic.
Let me ask you this, Brian, real quick, because, you picked two of the most, if I'm looking for, I'm not even talking about food quality or anything like that, the menu, but as far as thematic dining experiences, I think that San Angel Inn and Sci-Fi are probably two of the top restaurants anywhere on property for just how strong the theme is. So what did your friends think of those two dining experiences?
You know, they were eyes wide open. It was literally like we were taking 2 5-year-olds to Disney World for the first time. So everything was absolutely wonderful. There wasn't a bad experience in the whole thing, except for when the monorail broke down and the buses couldn't go to the Magic Kingdom directly, and we had to drive around for like 45 minutes around the back of the park. But other than that, everything was absolutely wonderful, and they were eyes wide open. Even the little simple things, like a simple Mickey Head ice cream bar, which is one of my daughter's favorites, that quickly became Mary's midday snack. Once she had one, she had to find one each midday. And here's a lady in her 60s just enjoying that like it was like she was 8 years old again, nibbling on an ice cream bar.
That's all. That's what it's all about, though. I mean, that is why you go to Walt Disney World and not Las Vegas. I mean, right there, you become a kid again.
Yeah, and it was, and we went into every one of the little, every one of the Art of Disney's, where you can see one of the artists doing the sketches, and Mary has a bit of an art background. And enjoys watching that, and just watching her have the conversation with the Disney artists that were there. Huge tip that if you're going down there and you're on Twitter, follow the WDW Park or WDW Today Twitter feed, because I found out in the middle of the day on Thursday that Marty Sklar was doing a book signing. And couldn't coordinate it, so I tweeted back to them, is he also doing it anyplace else? Found out he was. The next Friday morning, he was at Downtown Disney at the Art of Disney doing a book signing. So we got on the boat, went up the river, and got in line and got to meet Marty and get his book autographed.
Yeah, that's a good tip there, Brian, because they're doing a great job with that at WDW Today account. They really, I mean, you wouldn't think that an account that large would actually respond to you, but I mean, I've seen them respond to multiple people that I know, and, they're really making an attempt. They're doing a good job, and the content they put out is very good, too.
And had I not seen that, I wouldn't have gotten Marty's book signed, and now it's on my shelf and backed up of about 20 books in front of it that I'm supposed to read, but I like to buy books faster than I like to read them.
Yeah, they're there for that rainy day, you always have them.
Yeah, or the airplane rides.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm dying to know, though, because I'm sure you guys, well, you did make it to Epcot, you did San Angel. Your friend's wife had been there once one day. So what was it like when she actually got to see Epcot for what it is?
She was more fascinated by just the size and the scope of the landscaping than anything else. Everywhere we went, and I told her, you need to come back during Flower and Garden, but everywhere we went, she wanted to go see what those plants were and what this was. Mike's background is more in manufacturing and operations, and he was just trying to figure out, all right, how'd they do this, and how did they get that to do that? And just able to completely unwind. The Living with the Land boat ride, which I still want to sing the original song with it.
Let me get my guitar for you. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That was one of her favorite memories from before. And when she got to see it again, it was just all brand new and shiny to her. We went into Turtle Talk with Crush, and they had actually seen Finding Nemo. And these are two people that don't have any kids, and they get all their kid exposure through friends and relatives that have kids. And they'd seen Finding Nemo, so we went in to see Turtle Talk with Crush. And they're trying to figure out, I can see Mike looking around and trying to lean around the side of the screen to see where the guy is that's talking and how it's working. And how they, you know, how did they see that the kids are waving at him? I was hoping he was going to be that churro guy in Laugh Floor, yeah. But no. There was a much bigger, bearded, angry-looking biker guy that was happy to buy churros for everybody afterwards.
But you know what? I think about Walt Disney World a lot, you know, and I think about it through the eyes of a kid, through the eyes of parents who are taking their kids for the first time. But this is a really neat thing to consider that, you know, I think this is why it's the most popular vacation destination on the planet, is that there is something to appeal to everybody. And it's a curiosity, and it's fun no matter what your age. I love hearing that, because you know what? There was probably some gifted, you know, very bright and precocious 6-year-old that was doing the exact same thing as Mike, you know, looking around like, how's this working? Like, how's Crush talking to me? You know, that's cool.
Mike got into a conversation with a family that had three little kids that was in line behind us going in to meet Mickey Mouse at Town Square. And I'd never seen the talking Mickey before. We were standing in line, we're waiting. I had fast passes for it. We're standing in line. He's talking to this family of kids behind us, and it was like their third or fourth trip here and this, that, and the other. We come out, and of course you empty out into the gift shop. And me and the two wives are looking at something up towards the front. Next thing I know, I turn around and look, and Mike's got the three kids lined up at the cash register, and he's buying these three kids that we just met plushes off the shelf that he just wanted them to have something to remember that little trip by.
He's feeling the Disney magic, let me tell you.
Yeah, and this is a guy that is commonly referred to as a grumpy, ill-natured person in the industry, but actually is a real sweetheart when you get to know him.
That is awesome. You know, stories like that, though, I love hearing that. I'm glad you shared that, because I guarantee you people around the world today hearing that are smiling, because Disney does that to you, and it's getting caught up in the atmosphere and the magic of the place. I love hearing that.
Yeah, and do make sure and get the first visit buttons and wear them every day when you're a first-time visitor, because little special things happen all over the place, a little extra dessert here or there or whatever, you know, little magical things happen. The other thing that I did for them was, with both of them being in their 60s and us on a really relaxed schedule, was I reminded them that if you're not really hungry, you do need to eat, because you're walking a lot. And we all had our iPhones on and we're counting our steps, and we were averaging about 7.5-8 miles a day. You need to eat, but you don't want to eat a whole bunch because the weather was a little warm for us. Order kids' meals. Every one of the quick service restaurants has some sort of a kid's meal, and it's a good balanced light meal. And for an adult that just needs a little protein or a little something to keep going, it's great. And it's a way to save money. And then you can go find your favorite snack afterwards for $4 or $5 and fill up on it. Yeah. And that makes a perfect meal.
It's so funny because, you know, it's a Monday, so Pam and Ricky aren't here, but you mentioned the Pam plan, which is eat at the lounges. You don't have to have ADRs, but you can still get appetizers. A lot of times you can order from the full menu and you get the atmosphere without the, you know, the full cost. And then Ricky's plan is she always eats kids' meals. So you're right there with the other hosts of the show here. I love great. But you know what? They're practical advice, and they make your trip better to have that option right there in your pocket.
The other tips that I was able to give them as a veteran is I reminded them to bring two completely different pairs of shoes. So that way you wear one day and then you wear the others the next day. So you blister evenly instead of all in one spot. Make sure and bring some sort of protein bars or some little snack so that you can throw them in a backpack and carry them around in the park. And if you just need a quick pick me up. Or in my case, if I get back to the room at night and I'm hungry and it's like 11:30 and I just want something to get to bed with, I'll just have a quick snack in the room instead of hauling all the way down to the lobby and getting something. Because especially at Riverside, some of those walks can be a little long at 11:30 at night, and that's the last thing you want to do all day long.
Now, did you get a chance to catch Yeehaw Bob while you were there?
We saw one set of Yeehaw Bob, and by the time we were done with the drinks we ordered and Yeehaw, and after the entire day, we were beat.
Yeah, I hear you.
but we did get it. What I really enjoyed this time was not having to worry about having any kids or really being that responsible for kids, and not having the kids pulling at your wallet constantly. I was able to stop and get drinks in places that I hadn't had a chance to stop and get a drink in before. So it was kind of, I almost drank my way around the world, around Epcot, I did it over 2 days.
Huh. That's cool. You're right. I mean, it's different. You get out different opportunities when you have different traveling parties, you know, without the kids. Now, before we started recording, you mentioned that, you know, you had some considerations as a smoker, and I know some people smoke, some people don't, but, you know, what did you discover as far as, you know, being a smoker down at Walt Disney World? Because, I don't smoke, so I don't know what it's like from that point of view.
Smoking, for Mike and I as smokers, and going with two wives who, I don't know how to put this politely, but may have had to frequent my son's restrooms a little more often than we would have, the ladies would either go to a shop or go to the restroom, and Mike and I would go find a smoking section and sit down. The conversations that get struck up in the smoking section amongst smokers, we're more chatty than any other breed of people. So you meet some people in these smoking sections, and because there's only three or four in each park, you kind of all, you run into each other multiple times during the day. So you get to know each other. But it was another thing that was, you know, normally it would be me running off to do it by myself. Well, this time I had somebody to go with me. It's not, Disney does a good job of creating some smoking areas. Some are better than others, and some are dramatically worse than others. So we started to develop our favorites. And each year that we've gone down there, that I've gone down there, the smoking sections have moved or changed. So I'd like to see Disney do something a little bit better with some of them. Some of them are right out in the middle of the hot baking sun or in the middle of the rain, or some of them are in particular are right in the traffic flow of the non-smokers, which I think is kind of silly. If you're going to make a smoking area, put it off to the side so that the non-smokers don't have to come through it. But it was a bit of an adaption for Mike, who's used to running his own business and being able to smoke wherever he wants, whenever he wants. But once we got into the flow of it, it was really relatively easy, and just kind of plan our breaks accordingly. The hotel was relatively tolerant of smoking in not so much designated smoking areas. And I really feel for you joggers who are, they put the smoking area, the smoking benches at Port Orleans Riverside are right on that beautiful running path right along the river.
Yeah, I've been there.
So as you guys are running by, you know, I felt bad, but that's where they put us. So I would have suggested to them that they tuck us up the little nice walkways in between all the buildings and not right on the riverside itself where the joggers are trying to exercise.
But you do what you
can. That was kind of fun.
Now, let me ask you this, because we're running a little bit long, but, you know, I love this, that you got to have these experiences with your dear friends, and you had the right attitude. I mean, because I think so much is attitude and expectations going into a trip as to how much you're going to enjoy it once you arrive, and you just had it just right. Let me ask you this, though, because you mentioned this kind of in passing at the beginning of the show, and it's still sticking with me, especially with your avatar here on Skype, that you were a cast member on the Disneyland Railroad, so... What is that like? I mean, that is, you know, the railroad, for those people that are Disney fans, is basically the reason why Walt Disney himself decided to build a theme park. You know, he wanted to have a place for his railroad collection. So you got to be, I mean, you were a part of Walt's vision. So what's that like?
I actually, when I hired there in 1986, I was the first hiring that Disneyland Park did, because prior to that, the railroad and the monorail was owned separately by a company called Retlaw that was held by Lillian Disney personally. Walt himself had Retlaw, which was a division of WED, and he owned the trains, the monorail, and the Tiki Room. Those were his three personally owned attractions. When I hired in, I didn't realize what all I was getting myself involved in. I wanted to be a Jungle Cruise skipper, and they said, we don't have any. We can put you on the railroad. I said, okay, I'll try it. And then 2 weeks later, I realized I'm standing on the exact same engines and the exact same train cars that Walt Disney actually drove the engines. Man, and stood awesome. On those train cars. If you ever get to Disneyland, I believe it's called Holiday 2. It's the red one with the seven cars and the actual real caboose. That entire train is still from original opening day.
That's awesome.
So I got to work on Walt's personal big backyard toy.
Man, just to think. I mean, because I love, like, I went to Marceline, because I'm from Missouri, and just, you know, I could feel Walt there, even though he was just a boy when he was there and he wasn't there long. It was exciting for me to feel that. But, I mean, you know, when you think of all the classic black and white film footage, I mean, there's Walt on his railroad. You know, he's a grown man at this point, but he has the glee in his eye of like an 8-year-old. And you got to, you know, you were right there in that same position. I love that.
I spent my final break... When I was quitting and they asked me, what do you want to do? By that time I was also driving the vehicles on Main Street, and I spent my final break drive. My final shift was driving the fire truck for that night on Main Street, which that fire truck is the last published photograph of Walt at Disneyland. It's where he's driving the fire truck and Mickey's on his shoulder. Yep. I drove that fire truck, and then for my final break, I went upstairs to Walt's apartment, and Lillian had thrown him out. Lillian didn't let him smoke in the apartment after about 2 or 3 years of it being open, because he kept putting cigarette holes in all the Victorian antiques. So he had built a little patio right outside that. So it's on the second floor above the bathrooms at Disneyland between the firehouse and City Hall. He had a couple of benches and an ashtray out there, and that's where he'd go out and smoke. I spent my final break up there smoking and having a cup of coffee looking out over town square.
Man, we got to wrap the show, but I think that's where we need to wrap it right there. I mean, you kind of wrapped your career where Walt Disney stood, and you know, I think this is a great show. Hopefully everybody's smiling today. It's a Monday. We're going to start the week the right way. And I mean, this is Brian. You've got some experiences, man. I love it.
And to make you all feel even worse, on this Friday, June 3rd, is my daughter's 19th birthday, and we'll be spending the entire day at Disneyland.
Perfect. Yeah, you guys know how to do it. You know, Brian, I want to go around the park with you someday, so we're going to have to meet up. I'm telling you.
That's what I was telling Mike and Mary about all the windows and who did what and that, and explaining forced perspective to them, and showing them little tidbits of the parks and everything. So. Yeah, next year, Mike and Mary and my wife and I are doing Disneyland. Well, it'll probably be this October.
You know what you guys need to do too is no kidding, I think you guys would enjoy a Disney cruise. I think you guys would have a blast doing that too.
I think we might be looking at one in July of 17 that I heard about.
Hey, I know a good one on July 8th. It's a pretty special fantasy cruise, so hopefully we can have you on there, buddy.
Yeah, because a cruise of 3 or 4 or 5 nights is just too short for me. You can barely find your way around the boat, and you don't get accustomed to the boat by then. So 7 days is the perfect length.
You got that right. And this ad is brought to you by Brian. So I appreciate that very much. Beer Guest Podcast Cruise.
This ad is targeted towards Brian's wife, who will be listening.
That's exactly. Hey, I'm the same way. I do the podcast and I got to work, get everything cleared by my wife. But I appreciate the time today, Brian. Thanks for taking us back to Walt Disney World and with that awesome story about your time at Disneyland. And appreciate it. After your next trip, give me a holler and we'll come back right on the show.
And keep up the good work. I want to be on show number 2000.
Oh man, let's hope we make it that far. We will. Because I love this. The highlight of my week is doing this show. So appreciate it, Brian. And tell your friends. Thanks for making great content for our podcast audience. Thousands of listeners around the world. We really appreciate it.
I sure will.
All right. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Studios Florida, actually, vacation. So check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com. And also, put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In his best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, The Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success, make a Main Street impression on everybody that you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon.com in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy, just like I have, at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. And we're glad to have the Wisdom of Walt as a sponsor here on the Be Our Guest podcast. It's a great gift for recent graduates, and don't forget all the dads. It'd be a great book to have out on the hammock for Father's Day. All right, don't forget to give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. Drop by the Facebook group and give us a like, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you so much for checking in. We'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. So for Brian, I'm Mike, wishing you a wonderful week. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.